follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
All right. All right. I got all I need. And it's all right by me.
In fatherhood and family building, there are so many factors. Parenting, encouragement, managing a career, and home life. Welcome to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. Today's father is all about more than bringing home the bacon. It's all about managing relationships. Now, here's your host, Freddie Scott.
And it's all right by me.
Live from Nashville, Tennessee, this is the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. This is your show, America, and thank you once again for joining us. We're excited about the show once again. We've got some exciting stuff we're going to be talking about. Also, don't forget that you always can call in toll-free, 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Keep the conversation going on Twitter by following at Freddie Scott. Use the hashtag champion. And again, we thank you for taking time out and joining us today. Obviously, there's a lot of things going on in the world of news today. I'm going to be talking today about the PSU scandal, of course, with all the things going on with the Jerry Sandusky issues, and what did Joe Paterno know, what didn't he know. Had a chance to be able to meet with some Penn State families and some guys I played with back in the day, and looking forward to being able to share what I found out in our meetings this week. Also, some NFL free agency news. Drew Brees, of course, signed a big deal that we'll be talking about. And then we have a lot of pro athletes in the news for the wrong reasons. We'll be talking about that a little bit. We'll also be talking about what are your expectations for your family. Many times we don't have expectations, or the expectations that we have are the wrong ones. And so we're going to talk about how do you set the right expectations and set the right trend for leading your home. And then lastly, we're going to talk about 10 TV rules for your kids. Many times we don't realize the impact that television and media have on our children. And before you know it, they're saying and doing things because they're exposed to things on TV or through movies that we just never put any censors on. We didn't think about it until after the fact. And unfortunately, once you see something, you can't unsee it. And so we're going to talk about 10 TV rules for you and your kids. Well, I'm sitting here now with just a little catch-up here with a little swollen ankle. I was playing in a basketball league, and man, I was doing good. Man, I dropped 40 points last week. We were playing in the playoffs. My three was falling, and yesterday I was feeling good again, and three was falling, and all of a sudden had a little mishap there, but again, looking forward to being able to still get back, but I have iced my ankle here a little bit, but still excited about being able to do the show here today. And of course, with all the news going on, this past week I had a chance to be able to meet with some of my former Penn State teammates, from Kerry Collins, Mike Archie, a few guys that we played together on our last undefeated team there. Just a vent. We had the opportunity to be able to do some CNN interviews, and HLN and Wall Street Journal was calling all of us, and we all decided just to decline those interview requests, just because obviously everyone was looking for a spin. Everyone was looking to be able to, you know, add to their column, and we were all still just trying to absorb everything that was going on. And obviously with all the new findings of who knew what, how much did they know, all of that, it's still a tragedy, of course, what Jerry Sandusky did to those kids and to those victims, and our heart goes out to those families. And again, just even more sobering to think that people knew more than possibly what had been led on to initially. But this is something that, and I want you to pay real close attention to this, is that it seems as though the focus is on Coach Paterno, and obviously could he have done more? Yes, and he admitted before he passed away, he did say, wow, I wish we had done more. But the question comes to, how much did they know at the time? In hindsight, we're looking at it as, look at all these kids, look at all the things that Sandusky did, look at all those things that took place, and looking at it through the lens as though Paterno knew everything that we know today, versus Joe hearing of something that seemed inappropriate, as though it was an isolated event, they should have done more, for whatever reason, more was not done. But there was also something that was very interesting, and ESPN actually reported this morning as more information keeps coming out. If you think about it, the way it was reported, it was reported as though Joe withheld this information, was trying to protect the program, was trying to protect Sandusky, and, you know, just try to sweep this under the rug for all intents and purposes. And then they find out, Joe did report it to his boss, the AD, and it was reported to the president of the university and the vice president of the university. Now, the vice president and the athletic director, who are Joe's direct supervisors, are the ones that the prosecutors have filed charges against because of the information that was given to them that shows that there is something that they did or didn't do that they should have done, and they pressed charges against them. They did not press charges against Joe. They also, ESPN is reporting that the president of the university knew because it was reported to him what happened. And then this is what was released today. ESPN is reporting today that the president reported the incident to the chairman of the board of trustees. And as recent as April of 2011, the chairman of the board of trustees knew about the case, knew about what was happening, was apprised of the situation from the president. And yet, after everything sort of hit the fan during the football season, months after that, and in fact, the day before, ESPN also reported that this university began to negotiate a $5.5 million buyout of Coach Paterno for him to retire at the end of the season. So tell me something, just for thought and just for conversation. If the Board of Trustees had no idea what was going on and we were just totally blindsided by this whole incident because Coach Paterno was trying to shield his program and all of that, then how could the board begin to negotiate a $5.5 million settlement for him to retire at the end of the season? Who had the authority to be able to negotiate that type of buyout? How could the chairman of the board in April know about it, and yet nobody else know anything about the case at all? And then when everything hits the fan, and if you think about the timeline, when everything came out, Joe Paterno requested to do a press conference, and he was scheduled to do the press conference until the board canceled it and would not allow him to speak to the media. Why wouldn't they want him to talk to the media? What was it that Joe knew that maybe the board didn't want to know, want the public to know? And unfortunately, I personally believe it's just about money. Because once it continues to come out, if it's the case that the board actually was all in and they knew about what was happening, then to me, it's not a Joe Paterno issue. That's not even his call. Then to me, the finger goes to the Board of Trustees and their desire to protect whatever perceived image or trying to protect the legacy of what they wanted to do, as well as trying to keep them from being exposed from any other litigation or lawsuits from the victims as a result of them not doing what their job is supposed to be, which is to keep the university and everything involved, from the students to people coming on campus, you know, to the parents sending kids there, et cetera, making sure that they've done their job. And you know, still more is going to come out. I believe. I think it may get a little very interesting to sort of see what happens as more information continues to come out about this situation. You know, I think obviously the focus should be on the victims and the kids and the things that we can do to help them. But for me, the thing that's just interesting is I don't think it's fair to hang Joe Paterno out to dry as though he was the only one, or him and Schultz and Curley and the Spanier, and it was just like the four of them having a little powwow, and they solely, independently, of their own accord, tried to shield or shelter something, when actually this was a decision higher up than Joe. Now, for most of you who say, well, no, there is no one higher than Joe. Joe is the university. Joe has all this power and authority. Yes and no. At the end of the day, Joe got fired because he didn't have that type of control to not get fired, because he had supervisors over him. And at the end of the day, if those individuals, and who the chairman of the board of trustees, the president of the university, who were all involved and they all understood and they knew what was going on, if they made decisions that were the wrong decisions and they knew that, and then to allow someone to be the fall guy, and that person is now gone, he's passed away, he can't defend himself, and you allow that person's name to be tarnished, not because that there wasn't more that could be done. Of course, and again, yes, more could have and should have been done. But what could have and should have the board done if they knew what was going on? And why haven't they stepped up and said, wait, hold on, this really, Joe did report this to us. Yes, we knew what was going on, but we decided to try to negotiate a $5.5 million buyout for him to end his career. We decided to try to make these things happen internally, and that was our decision. Why haven't they come forward and said that after all of these months and months and months and months of public criticism of Joe Paterno, when they knew he was doing what they told him to do and would not even let him talk to media? Now, again, of course, being a Penn State guy, I might be a little biased a little bit, and understandably so. At the end of the day, it's a travesty to think that somebody would put money ahead of the welfare and well-being of young people, of children, kids that are innocent. And at the end of the day, the people that had the authority to take keys away from Sandusky, the individuals that had the authority to be able to not allow him to have the access to the university, are the very individuals that are claimed that they had no idea what was going on, but now we're finding out they didn't know, but they did nothing. Obviously, more is going to be coming up as days and months go forward. Keep, and of course, I'll be having more guys on the show talking about our take on it and what we think we can do about this moving forward. When we come back after the break, I'm going to be talking about NFL free agency. Drew Brees signed a $100 million deal, $20 million a year, $60 million guaranteed. What does this mean for Aaron Rodgers and some of your other NFL pros? Also, we're going to talk about great expectations for your family and 10 TV rules for your children. We'll be right back after this.
It's all right by me. Oh, yeah.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business,
visit www.freddyscott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
Do you feel the need for speed? Whatever your addiction, NASCAR, IndyCar, NHRA, Formula One, or even lawnmower racing, Pit Pass USA has got you covered. Larry Henry here, host of Pit Pass USA. I put my 30-plus years of being a motorsports broadcaster to work to bring you not only the best guests, but also the most interesting guests in racing. Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry, your front row seat to the world of racing. Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel. Be there or get a DNF.
The job of a professional athlete is never complete. In Life After the Game, host Lamar Campbell will take an inside look at how athletes are making the transition from the professional athletics world to the professional business world. You'll understand the goals, motivations, and personalities that drive these players off the field and in their post-professional career. Tune in to Life After the Game with Lamar Campbell every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
I got all I need, and it's all right by me.
You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to the Freddie Scott Show.
Welcome back to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. This is your show, America, and thank you so much for joining us. If you're just joining us, we just had a little recap of the Penn State scandal with Joe Paterno. And now we're going to talk about a little bit about this whole NFL free agency. And there's been a lot of pro athletes in the news for the wrong reason. But first, on the good side, Drew Brees finally ended the long contract negotiations with the Saints, signed a $100 million deal, $60 million guaranteed. Obviously a very happy guy. You're talking about a guy who, as an undersized quarterback, the Chargers shipped him off thinking that, you know, his best days were done. His shoulder had some questionable shoulder issues. And for him to put up the numbers and breaking Dan Marino's passing record last year, a Super Bowl champion there, you know, I always had the pleasure of spending some time with him and his wife and family on the beach at our NFL symposium and convention a few months back. And you talk about a guy that just truly is passionate about his family and trying to reach out to the community. This is truly the type of guy that you want to be your franchise quarterback, and very excited to be able to see that he was able to get a deal done and where hopefully he's able to finish his career out with the New Orleans Saints. So everyone there in New Orleans, you guys should be very happy to know that your guy is going to be there for some time, and they took care of him. Now, of course, though, what does that mean for a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who is a lot younger than Drew, also has a Super Bowl championship, led his team to a 15-1 record last year, you know, is still in the peak of his career. Now you're talking about most likely at least a $21 million a year contract that has opened up a whole new floor for negotiation for a guy like Aaron Rodgers now that Drew Brees has just signed this new deal. And it's interesting because I think that it's great. The way the new collective bargaining agreement is now structured, they've taken the money away from paying the rookies all these inflated contracts to guys that have not earned it. They haven't played it down yet. They haven't done anything to earn these high contracts, and they've shifted it now to guys that have earned it, guys that have played, guys that have put the stats in. They put in the time, the sweat, the effort, and they have years of a track record to prove their value. And now due to the collective bargaining agreement, now guys can get compensated for their worth. And so now the Packers are now going to have to negotiate something that's going to make Aaron Rodgers happy, because if you look at the resume, I'm younger, I put up great numbers as well, I have a Super Bowl championship as well, and I'm still in the prime of my career. If this is what Drew was able to get at the end of his career, what should you compensate me in the peak of my career? And so even though I'm sure he'll be fine for this year, but I'm sure as time progresses and it's time to renegotiate, this Drew Brees deal opens up an entirely new paradigm of expectation of what these young quarterbacks should be expecting. Of course, Wes Welker, he signed his franchise tender. He'll be paid $9.5 million this year. He has the most catches and yards over the past 5 years than any other receiver in the game. But he signed that deal in good faith, thinking that a long-term deal would be negotiated. But this is actually something that's very interesting. Wes Welker is a slot receiver. He's not an outside guy like a Megatron with the Detroit Lions or like a Larry Fitzgerald with the Arizona Cardinals. He's a slot receiver, and typically slot receivers don't get paid as much as those outside receivers like a Calvin Johnson. And so that's really where the negotiation is sort of hitting a snag, because on Wes Welker's side, they're saying, listen, what receiver in the game has caught more balls than me? Who has more yards than me? My production speaks for itself. My production says that I should be paid as one of the top 3 to 5 receivers in the top 3 to 5 receivers in the entire NFL. Well, the Patriots are saying, yeah, that's great. You put on great numbers, and we're going to love to pay you, but you're not a guy that we have to necessarily pay that much because you're not a Calvin Johnson. You don't line up on the outside. If it's a goal line situation, two tights, one receiver, we don't put you out there on an island and you beat a defense all by yourself. Your asset is being in a slot where we can move you around. We can get you in some matchups against linebackers and get number 3 cornerbacks because the number 1s are having to play the outside against the outside guys. And most the best cornerbacks typically aren't used to playing on the inside around all that traffic. They like being on an island like a Darrell Revis Island. I like being on the outside. So the caliber and quality of cornerbacks that you're beating is typically the number 2 or number 3 cornerback. And so, yeah, we want to pay you. But should you be getting paid like Calvin Johnson? Or should you get paid just as a really good receiver? And so it's going to be interesting to see if Wes was going to step back from his strictly production argument to the position and role that he has in the offense. And that is really where the point of contention is going to be, and whether or not Wes Welker is able to get a big deal. Matt Forte also, this is another very interesting case here. The Chicago Bears have offered him a franchise tender as well. But what's happened with him is, here's a guy drafted by the team. He bought into the organization. I'm going to do it the right way. I signed my rookie deal. It was a 4-year deal. I'm going to play out my contract. Even though I've outplayed my contract, I'm not going to hold out. And at the end of my 4 years, when I'm a free agent, now we can negotiate more of a long-term deal. He's in game 12 of his 4th year last year and gets hurt. Now, I remember last year there was a lot of talk about Chris Johnson, and, you know, he still was under contract, and he should have played under his contract. Even though he had outplayed his rookie deal, you know, why is he holding out? Why is he trying to demand all this money now when he still technically has a contract that he should still play? It's because for an NFL player, at any play, at any given point, you can get hurt, and whatever leverage that you had, you have now lost because now you are injured. And so now Matt Forte is in a situation where he's hurt. Yeah, he's going to come back, but you know what? The Bears can say, you got hurt last year, and you're damaged good. So, yeah, you were worth this, but I don't know if we're going to pay you that because, again, there's a likelihood that you could get hurt again. And so why should we pay you all this money, even though, yeah, in your first 3 years, wow, you're amazing. The first half of the season, wow, you're amazing. Yeah, but you got hurt. And so that's the sad part of the game. You know, when a guy plays by the rules, and I'm going to buy into the team, and I'm going to do it the right way, and I'm going to play out my contract, and then somehow, some way, unfortunately, guys get hurt. It's going to be a real test to see what type of organization the Chicago Bears are, if they're going to reward Matt Forte for him buying into the organization, playing his heart out, and still rewarding him even though he did get injured last year. Now, there are some pro athletes in the news, of course, for the wrong reasons. ESPN is reporting that Terrell Owens, could face jail time for being late in child support. He's owes about $20,000 in child support payments to his child. He's been late on some. He missed a court date due to miscommunication between his attorney and himself. The judge is upset. Is threatening that if he misses the next jail time, the next court appearance, he would face jail time. And, of course, it's just unfortunate. He was released by the indoor football team that he was playing with. And, unfortunately, not a lot of NFL teams have been interested at this point in time due to an off-season knee injury that he suffered after the end of the 2010 season. It was reported that he was working out in California with some guys, hopefully trying to get some attention because, again, you know, if he owes all this money and still has, you know, debts that he still has to pay, but if he doesn't have the money coming in either due to not managing his NFL income while he had it, or not having any revenue streams coming in now, you know, and unfortunately, you may not know this, but unfortunately, 80% of NFL players walk away from the game broke due to not managing their money properly because, again, I'm not going to get hurt. You know, I'll save the next contract. I'll save the next check. And that mentality ends up going on year after year after year, and before you know it, most guys end up spending more than they have coming in or obligating themselves more, thinking that they're going to be able to play long enough to be able to pay off those debts. And it's just another sad case there. And then, of course, the big news, Broncos defensive end Dumerville flashes a gun in a late-night incident, and it was arrested. Of course, he's a Pro Bowl guy, led the team in sacks last year, a huge part of that defensive front and the defensive scheme for the Denver Broncos, and just tragic. It's just mind-blowing to me. Now, this follows Adrian Peterson getting arrested after being at a nightclub late at night. There was a undercover or a police officer that was not dressed. I guess he was just working, you know, a gig at a nightclub. Apparently there is some altercation that happened between Peterson and the security guard, and all of a sudden finds out that he was actually a police officer, and now, you know, they made this whole big deal. But again, and then you have Knicks guard Jason Kidd arrested for a DWI. And so, again, it's just mind-blowing. Why are these guys hanging out in nightclubs with guns? Ask Plaxico Burress, what happens when you go to a club with a gun? Nothing good is going to happen. If you have to go out and take a gun with you, if you are scared for your safety or feel like you need to protect yourself or protect the people around you, so let me go ahead and take a gun, that might be a hint that maybe you don't need to go there. That might be a hint that, maybe I don't need to engage and be around this group of people if the people I'm hanging around, I've got to have a gun. Or maybe, I've had a little too much to drink. Maybe I need to call a cab. Or maybe I need to go with someone. If I'm planning on drinking, let me designate a driver. I mean, stuff that's just common sense. And these aren't people that are rookies doing this stuff. These are Jason Kidd, 38-year-old, NBA vet. Adrian Peterson, not his first time around the league. Dumerville, not his first time around the block either. Why are NFL players, NBA players, still making the same mistakes? It's just mind-blowing. When we come back after the break, we're going to talk about what are your expectations for family. Hopefully your expectations are bigger than what some of these guys' expectations have been. Then also we're going to talk about 10 rules that you should set for your kids in watching TV. Once you see something, you can't unsee it. We have to protect our kids. You're listening to The Freddie Scott Show. We'll be right back after this.
It's all right by me. Oh, yeah. It's all right by me. Yeah.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
I got all I need, and it's all right by me.
You're listening to The Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to the Freddie Scott Show.
Welcome back to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. This is your show, America, and thank you so much for joining us. The call is free, 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. We'd love to be able to get your thoughts on the Penn State scandal. Also love to get your thoughts about these NFL and NBA players still getting in trouble in the league late night, still carrying guns and drinking and all this stuff that seems to be going on. Guys that should be role models still making mistakes today. We'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Well, now I want to talk about expectations. You know, it's amazing the role that faith and expectations plays in each and every one of our lives, that literally every single day, what you expect drives your thoughts, drives your attitude, drives how you treat your wife, it drives how you treat your children, it drives your attitude or lack thereof when you go to work. It impacts everything because it literally fuels everything that you say, and everything that you do. If I have a great expectation that, you know, I think about it, back when you used to date, you know, we met, saw somebody, and oh man, they look cute, and you had an expectation for your date. You were excited about it. You know, you're going to go, and in preparation for the date, you're going to go hopefully brush your teeth, make sure your mouth and breath is all good, right? You're going to maybe you went to the store and maybe got a new outfit because you wanted to impress that person. Maybe you said, you know what, let me try to figure out, you know, what types of things they like to eat and what things they like to do. And in preparation and expectation for your date, you're going to try to think out and plan ahead and try to do things that would make that day and date very special for the person you're excited to be able to spend time with. See, all dating is the excitement, the expectation of what you think is going to happen. And it happens when you got two people excited and setting an expectation of, man, I get a chance to see you again. You remember those days when you were dating and you're counting down the days the next time you got a chance to see that person, or you knew you're going to go on that date later on that day. And so it seems like those days the clock at work is just going so slow. It's like you look at the clock and just 10 minutes went by and it's still just 9:10. You're hoping an hour went by because you're looking forward to the end of the day where you can get off work and you can go see that person that you love. What happened to that? Some of you are married now and you sort of get into this whole routine of what life is. And understand this about expectations. Expectations are either set based upon your experience in the past, or they're set by God's hope that you see for you and your family in the future. It's either one of the two. You're waking up today, and you're excited and motivated because you have a hope for the future, or you're waking up today based upon whatever may have happened yesterday. Too many people are holding on to conversations from yesterday, bad things that happened yesterday, a negative conflict that may have happened between you and your spouse yesterday, and because you had that fight, because you had that disagreement, you go to sleep, you wake up, and you wake up to a whole new day, but your expectation is we're going to carry over that negative experience into today. And now today is all jacked up because we carried it over. There's a reason why the Bible says don't let the sun go down on your wrath. It's because you should not wake up to a new day carrying over the baggage from yesterday. Every day, everything should reset. Every day, things should have an opportunity to be fresh and new and heal. If you notice, if you get a cut, the wound doesn't stay the same. Every single day, that wound gets a little better. It closes a little more. The swelling goes down a little bit. It doesn't hurt as much. Because every day is a step of progress. Every day is a step of healing. Every day is a step of production. And many times we stop that in our own lives because we continue to expect the wrong things. Now, something very interesting about this, whole expectation, because every one of us, when you go into a relationship, you have this high expectation. Oh, man, things are just going to be great. But then something Coach Paterno actually coached us on. He said, in every game, there is a play, there is a moment where the other team will say, ouch. There's a moment where the other team, even though they came out of the tunnel in the beginning of the game all hyped up and they're playing the fight song and we're ready to play and, man, we're going to win this game, but there's a moment during the game where the thought of defeat is accepted. The thought of defeat is now possible. We came out thinking we were going to win, but based upon what happened throughout the course of the game, oh, man, we just threw another interception. Oh, man, he just fumbled the ball. Oh, man, he just dropped the pass. Oh, man, he just missed that tackle. Oh, man, I guess we may not win today. And he said, as soon as a team begins to accept that thought of defeat, the game's already won. All you have to do is get the team to say, ouch, to accept the possibility of defeat. Why? Because it carries over in their body language. It carries over in their execution. It carries over in everything that they will do. They're not going to run that route with expectation to make the play and win the game. They're just going through the motions just to finish the game. And that's where too many marriages, too many families are today. They're going through the motions, just trying to get through it. They're not doing it all with their heart and with the expectation that things are going to get better. Things are going to be, I'm going to be more in love with my wife than I was yesterday. I'm going to love my kids more than I did yesterday. I'm going to be more engaged at work than I was yesterday. I'm going to be more than it was yesterday. Nope. The thought of defeat is now been accepted. The thought of failure is now accepted, and now, all of a sudden, losing is an option. Divorce is now an option. Losing my kids, respect, or the relationship that I thought I was going to have with them has now been accepted as possible. And if you're listening right now, all I'm encouraging you to do is to reset your beliefs. Remember, even the Bible itself talks about cast not away your confidence, for it has great recompense of reward. Don't throw away that confidence that you had when you first started dating that person, and you're so excited every single chance he had it to spend time with them. That's the person you're living with every day now. Remember the excitement you had when you found out you're going to be a dad or you're going to be a mom, and you realized that you had a chance to be able to cultivate this new life. And regardless of what may have happened over the course of time on that journey, don't forget about that passion that you had in the beginning to love your child and to try to help them be all that they could be. Remember the day you were excited about that job? You were excited just to be able to have an income coming in, and then you found out the rest of the story and found out everything else you had to do and all the drama and the people you got to work with and all of that stuff started creeping in, and now that zeal sort of fades. Sometimes we have to be thankful for what we have and be willing to turn a page on things so that way we can keep what we have. There's too many people, we get to the place to where we're unthankful and ungrateful for the many blessings that we do have because we're so focused on what it isn't than being appreciative for what it is. Take a moment today and reset your expectations. Get excited about the fact that you have someone to share your life with. Get excited about the fact that you have children that you can love and that when you go home and you give them a hug, you transform their world. Get excited about the fact that you have a job when so many people are wishing they could just have a job. Realize that today, when you wake up, you have an opportunity to set an expectation that will permeate everything you say and do, and your attitude, good or bad, is going to impact those around you. Let's make a decision today to make sure that it's a positive impact that we're making, not a negative one. When we come back after the break, we're going to talk about 10 rules that we should be giving for our kids and watching TV. Once you see something, you can't unsee it. Also, for those of you in Indianapolis, I'll be speaking with Coach Dungy on August the 25th at the Colts facility. LifeWay is partnered with All Pro Dad. We're going to be doing a national simulcast. If you want to hear about how you could get Tony Dungy to speak at your church, stay tuned. I'll let you know right after the break. You're listening to The Freddie Scott Show.
It's all right by me.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Listening to The Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to The Freddie Scott Show.
Welcome back to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. This is your show, America, and thank you so much for joining us. I alluded to before the break that there is a way that you could get Tony Dungy to speak at your church. And All Pro Dad and Lifeway Christian Stores have partnered together to do a national simulcast where you can actually have a father and kid experience right there at your church. Go to allprodad.com, find out how you can get a copy of the simulcast right there. You can make it a community event. It's going to be a great time. I'll be speaking there with Coach Dungy. We've got a great lineup of other speakers, and we're going to be really looking forward to engaging men and families across the country in a positive way. And so if you want more information on that, feel free to visit allprodad.com, find out about the event that I'll be speaking at, and see how you can get Tony Dungy there at your church. Before the break, we also talked about the fact that there are 10 TV rules that we should have for our kids. There are too many of us that we go through life and we go home and we just sort of assume that certain kid channels are censoring their programming for us, when really we should have rules that we set and see exactly what they're watching ourselves. And this is from an article from our friends at All Pro Dad. My good friend Brian Davis wrote this for us, and it's just amazing that a majority of kids, actually 53%, in a Kaiser Family Foundation survey said that their families had no rules for TV viewing. The remaining kids said they had rules, but just 20% said these guidelines were enforced most of the time. As if that's not bad enough, the proportion of children with cable or satellite TV in their own room grew from 29% to 37% in the past 5 years. Well, what does this mean? Big trouble. TV is raising many children, and most of TV is not sending our children the right message. So if you want to remain in control of your children, as a parent, you must have these 10 TV rules. Well, what are those rules? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. First of all, remember that TV is a privilege, not an inalienable right. Supervision and usage of every TV in the house must fall 100% under the dictatorial authority of the parents. This is a foundational and non-negotiable principle. There's too many kids that just feel like, well, I can watch TV. No. Did you do your homework? Are you getting good grades? You know, and unfortunately, we talked about it in some shows past, how many kids actually have picked up and read a book? You know, so just the mentality of go home, sit down, turn on the TV versus go home, do homework, read, research. You know, it's nice outside. Go outside and play. You know, TV should not be the focus of our world. Number two, TV's natural posture is off. This idea is apparently novel. However, television is a constant background noise, and background visual is not only distracting, but it's also antisocial. In the absence of a well-considered decision to watch a specific program, there's no good reason to have the TV on. There's many times we just turn on the TV just to have it on versus no, the natural position for TV should be off. Number three, parental modeling must be consistent with household standards. It simply doesn't work to have one set of guidelines for children and a blanket waiver for mom and dad. Obviously, acceptable content shifts as we age, but if standards such as decency and overusage are good enough for children, then they should also be good enough for the grown-ups too. Number four, turn the television off when company enters the house. Have you ever noticed how good conversation is stilted at a sports restaurant when multiple screens? Because TV catches your eye, your ear, and your attention. But people and conversation are much more important. Keep the TV off. Unless the purpose of the invitation is the game or movie night or let's watch the debate, then when company comes over, TV comes off, let's enjoy the time together and actually talk versus just sitting and watching TV. Number five, TV has no place in the bedroom. Uh-oh, there's a whole bunch of people going to not like that one. How can I stop my 10-year-old watching South Park late at night? Well, it's not going to be such an issue when there's no TV in their room. TV is easier to monitor in family spaces. Remember, TV in the kids' rooms is not a right. 6, TV is always off during family mealtimes. Mealtimes are for conversation, checking in, sharing family stories, and teaching of manners and social skills. TV sucks community right out of the room. If you're trying to eat dinner as a family and TV's on, there is no dialogue. And unfortunately, we miss opportunities. Parents, we miss opportunities. Something could be going on in the life of our young person. Someone could have done something to them. Someone could have touched them inappropriately. Someone may have bullied them at school. But we were watching TV, and we weren't focused on being able to have the focused attention and looking our kids in the eye and giving them space to share what's on their heart and what's going on in their lives. And we miss it because we kept the TV on. 7. Only parents may program access and restrictions. This is another version of who's in charge question. Take this bull by the horns and make sure it's clear that your home is parent-run. Your kids don't dictate what they can watch and what they can't watch. You do. 8, stupid and mind-numbing can be as harmful as immoral and violent. Make sure that your standards are not only clear, but also consistent. It's important to make decisions about programming based on content, not just rating. It's amazing. Sometimes there'll be a rating of G or PG or PG-13, and you think that just because of the rating, it's okay. But sometimes the content in the show may conflict with your beliefs, and you may not want your child exposed to something that you really don't believe that they should be exposed to. So it's important to actually watch the programs versus just simply being dependent upon the rating. 9, TV is more fun when it's not overused. Moderation turns out to be the opposite of killjoy. Rather than taking the fun out of family entertainment, moderation eliminates the inflammatory, I'm tired of this, or I'm bored reaction. Carefully vetted and well-supervised family viewing ramps enjoyment up a notch. So the less you watch it, the more special it is when you do get a chance to watch it together as a family. And number 10, TV must take its place among a broad spectrum of family activities. Think of TV as one more piece in the entertainment puzzle. Family games. Remember Uno? Remember Monopoly? Remember, I mean, what was your favorite board game growing up as a kid, and what was the last time you played that game with your family? So again, TV is just another piece in the entertainment puzzle. Family games, outings, reading time, projects, homework, television, computer games, sports. These and other activities are all valid but also in need of balance. When TV finds its proper place, then abuse of the privilege will likely all but disappear. Again, that's from our great friends at All Pro Dad. For more tips like these, visit allprodad.com, or I'll have the link for this also on my Twitter feed, at Freddie Scott on Twitter. Again, thank you so much again for joining us today. Next week we'll have more NFL news, more Penn State scandal, and I will love to be able to get your feedback on this. Use the hashtag champion to keep the conversation going on any of the topics that we discussed. Make sure you set the right expectation for your family, and make sure you love and lead your home. This is Freddie Scott. We'll be right back, better than ever, next week. This is the Freddie Scott Show.
Thanks again for tuning in to the Freddie Scott Show. We'll be back next Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time, on the Voice America Sports Channel. We'll see you then.
It's all right by me.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network.